This is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly. 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is pre-recorded, however, so if you call in, no one will answer. And for that matter, what is the difference between recorded and pre-recorded?
It's the 9 o'clock hour on a Thursday here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK. The ticket online at WTK.com, which means it is time for the MGoBlog Roundtable brought to you by Homeshore Lending. If you're looking for a mortgage and you're a Michigan fan, there's only one place to go, Homeshore Lending. Homeshore Lending is a local company, and you work directly with the owner, Matt Demarest. Matt bleeds blue, and so does his family.
And we are back, folks, the MGoBlog Roundtable, another edition. Game recap of the season with our friends from first, our friends over at MGoBlog. We have Brian Cook in studio.
Hello.
Brian, how are you this morning?
I am well.
We have Ed Fang from the Power Rank. Ed, good morning.
Good morning.
And I call our next guest the venerable one, Craig Ross. How you doing this morning?
How you doing? I have a question.
Shoot.
How come that guy is on the top of your banner?
Pitbull?
What is that?
He's a rapper from Miami, and he's inspiring.
He's terrible.
He's inspiring to me because
he's inspiring.
Yeah, because he's basically a cave salamander with cool glasses, and he gets to be a famous rapper. So it's like, you know, you can achieve too, Craig Ross.
I guess I hadn't thought of it that way. Yeah. You know, if that guy can be a star,
so he was in a commercial that ran every single commercial break 3 times in a row in 2012. Where he would go and get together with his buddies under a highway overpass and drink Dr. Pepper. And that's the energy I want for this season. So let's have a real good time, Craig Ross.
All right. It makes no sense to me. The other thing I want to say is Ed Fang is the worst bocce ball player in the world. That's it.
All right, well, is that real?
That's real.
I'm not very good, but I'm not as bad as Craig thinks I am.
Well, terrible.
This is excellent contribution from Craig. That's what the people want to hear.
Craig is judging on small sample size.
That's true.
So, you know.
Speaking of small sample size.
So 40-21, Michigan beats Middle Tennessee State. Let's do your broad brush first. Thoughts on the game. Game one for Michigan. What did you think offensively, defensively?
It was sloppy, but it was. I thought the structure of the offense was really encouraging. It was wild, man, because every time Michigan kept on the arc, they got a chunk of yards, and it felt like they could have done that every play. Like, there were times when, you know, Eubanks would break into the open field, and he wouldn't have anyone to block.
Right. You know, the way, and we talked about this play on the captain and the coach last night. Al calls it the QB bluff run, you know, split zone with that tight end coming across, and he's either engaging that defense if he presents himself as a threat, or you're there, you're bluffing like it's going to be a block, and if he commits inside, you got to escort around the corner.
Yeah.
It's like a caravan
and Michigan,
leading you.
I mean, that was the 81-yard run against Wisconsin last year. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of what they did mid-season, and it felt like they could have run that every play and kept it every play and scored a touchdown on every drive, because like, I have never seen anyone care less about like containing a particular obviously very successful play. And they, I don't know how many of those were real reads. You know, I think Patterson got banged up pretty early in this game, so it's possible those were just frippery, and then, you know, the play was like, let's run Charbonnet for 6 yards, and that's fine. But man, it was weird. I've never seen that
so before. if you go to our YouTube page, there is a clip up called MTSU QB Bluff Run, and you'll be able to see what I'm talking about. I don't know if you've seen the play that they're talking about.
You got to get Al Borges onto the same lingo I have.
I will, but this is a play. I don't know if you watched the play, Ed, but this is an example of what he's talking about, where you see how, I mean, it's just a,
yeah,
it's wide open.
I mean, it's a tough thing, and, you know, last year Michigan's four-minute drill was better than it's ever been under Harbaugh, and a large part of that was the fact that as Michigan got into high leverage time, the more likely it was that Patterson was going to keep and get 8-10 yards on the arc keeper.
Yeah, they ran it. So the McCaffrey touchdown.
Yeah, I mean McCaffrey ran it five times in his brief period when he was on the field. And the thing I like the best, so it was that series where it went RPO, RPO, and then the Collins touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool. I like that. But the first play in that series, they bluffed the arc. Like, I can't say bluff anymore because that's his layout.
Yeah.
So they ran what looked like the arc read, but it was play action. And I was shocked that the Middle Tennessee corner didn't come up on it, and that would have left Collins wide open for a big chunk play. But, like, they attached the passing game to the running game.
Mm-hmm.
They did it several times in this game. It was extremely successful. And that's kind of the biggest win Michigan can get this year tactically, which because they didn't really do that at all last year.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that the structure of the offense was one of the most compelling parts of the game. Maybe beyond that, maybe the most important thing was how Hayes played at left tackle. I thought he was really, really good. I watched the tape the first time and just watched him. I thought Mayfield was not quite as good, but pretty good. But that Hayes just killed it, and their running backs killed it. Especially in pass protection. Yeah, now Harbaugh said they were perfect. He's wrong because Hassan Haskins blew one. But Charbonnet was really, really good in pass pro. And we already knew that 13 True Wilson was good coming in.
Well, he didn't play much.
He had a hand injury, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh.
So the good news on the offense to me was the sort of question marks that we might have had, the tackle play, the running back play, really was quite positive. I mean, the negative thing for me was I was at the Bowling Green game Thursday night, and I was stunned at how sound and there were in an opening game Bowling Green was. I mean, they made zero mistakes. And here, Michigan, they've got like five procedure or offside mistakes that are just have nothing to do with the opponent. They've got six fumbles. They only put four in the stats, but I thought there were six when I re-looked at the tape. I mean, so they're fumbling the ball. And that part of the game I found. Yeah, I know it's opening game, but it was frustrating.
Well, maybe the most atrocious thing of the offense was clocking the ball with 20 seconds left in the first half.
So we talked
about two timeouts.
Or was it?
So we talked
the ball
about
hit the ground.
No, it did not.
There's a still picture that shows the nose of the ball on the ground.
No, I agree with
that.
It's
true that there's a still picture that shows the nose of the ball on the ground. But if you watch the replay of that, it's a catch either way.
But you don't give the replay official a chance to look at it.
I don't think the replay official was going to look at it.
And I don't think Michigan knew that. That ball looked like a catch live.
Yeah.
That was a blow by
Michigan. It's literally like two frames when the ball's on the ground. So did that actually get communicated to anybody on the sideline? I doubt it.
That was one of the things, because Al, he was very complimentary of, he thought Josh Gattis was great calling his first game.
He said
he adjusted his his mindset in 2 minutes. He really liked the 2 minute drill. He said the one thing that he would have done different was he's either running a play instead of clocking the ball or calling the timeout. But he's not basically wasting that down. He's running a play right there.
Well, also, they ran. They had a buck and 8 seconds on the clock. They ran the ball. There was 50 seconds, and then they didn't get a playoff until 33, and they had two timeouts. So, I mean, to me, like, I liked their ability to get plays off quickly, but if you're going to run the ball there and you got two timeouts, you should probably, because like Middle Tennessee is not going to take those 50 seconds and do anything with them. Mm-hmm. So you want to preserve them, and you want to go into halftime without timeouts.
You talked about the structure of the offense, attaching the passing game to the run game. I mean, one of the criticisms of Michigan in recent years has been, where's the screen game? It was not a successful part of the game plan Saturday by any stretch, but it was a part of the game plan. You can see how they are going to be a screen team this year too.
And Michigan was close to a couple of big plays on the screen. So I think the first one, Patterson just didn't hold the ball long enough, so the play side end was able to get out and keep it to 4 yards. And then he missed one on the 2 minute drill that would have been, 20 yards touchdown. Because it might not be as prominent because I am a Middle Tennessee blitz on almost every down. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're going up against a team that you know is going to happen, you're going to pull out a lot of screens.
Yeah, I thought there was one that could have been a big play, and it was to Christian Turner. And watching it live, I thought it failed because, you know, the ball that Shea threw turned Turner around. The corner comes up and makes the stop. When Al watched it, goes to show that it was more to the execution than just Shea. He said, "No, this is on the off. This is on the guard. It's on the play side guard there." Because he works upfield too quickly and the corner comes crashing.
Oh, I think I do remember that.
Yeah, and makes the play. And he said, "What you coach guys to do is to play flat and then work up the field."
Yeah.
And if he plays flat, and he makes that block. I mean, Christian Turner might still be running.
I thought both Ruiz and Onwenu went too vertical on that. So, yeah. I agree with Al Borges. How we doing, people?
amazing things are happening early in the season.
By the way, Turner had a good game too. Football Focus had him as one of the best three players on Michigan's offense.
He was like +7 in my grading, which was a lot in like 11 carries. So he's quick. He's got that Higdon thing where he's low to the ground and he's pads forward, so a lot of guys like reach out with arms and don't get anything. And then he's balanced. He's able to tiptoe the sideline a couple different times. Like, I know everybody's like gung-ho about Charbonnet, and I am too, but that kid's a player. So, like, best case scenario for the running backs, really.
Yeah, it's not like there's enough carries to go around. I was extremely impressed with Zach Charbonnet. I mean, I thought, you know, if you're talking about not being perfect as a group in pass pro, I can think of the one glaring one with Haskins, but I thought Zach was perfect.
He was.
And the one where they had the corner blitz, from the from the boundary, and so he has two guys coming because the protection wasn't checked, and he picks up the right guy and gives the play a chance.
Yeah,
like, I mean, that's a veteran move right there.
I think he has a chance to be in the pantheon of Michigan running back pass pro guys with Anthony Thomas and Mike Hart. I mean, and I think he has a chance at least coming off of that game because that's a freshman.
One game.
It's one game, but it's a freshman playing like that.
It's one game, to be perfect in pass pro and then to have situations like that where
he had some blocks too.
Yeah, he did.
He's nearly stationary. He's got a linebacker charging at his face, and that guy stops.
Right. So we got to get to a break real quick. You clearly think there are things that Shea left on the field in the run game.
Yeah.
What did you think about Shea in the passing game?
Well, I mean, we mentioned the flood route that was pretty bad. He was accurate downfield for the most part. You know, he's always been accurate. His decision making still leaves a little bit to be desired. But I mean, you can work with what he brings in the passing game. Definitely. It's just, can he, you know, maybe work through a couple transition costs and be a little bit more efficient and effective?
You know, there's going to be a variance of opinion on this one because Pro Football Focus had him at an 84, average is 64, which is probably as good as any quarterback in the country did this week. So they loved what Patterson did.
Yeah. He had a stretch in there throwing the football. He was in a real rhythm.
You know,
in the second quarter. And, you know, he had the one series where he had the flag to Bell that was just off of Ronnie's fingertips, and then he comes right back with McCune down the seam.
Four verts. They didn't run that at all last year, and it's like, it's good to see, because when Big Gattis talks about stretching the field, he's not just talking about stretching it horizontally at the line of scrimmage. He's also talking about stretching it horizontally deep down the field.
Vertically. Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Collins one was. There were three verticals on the Collins route. There were four on the McCune touchdown. This is going to be a big play offense, and I think Shea Patterson is well-suited to be bombing it deep a lot.
All right, folks, we got to get to a break. We are back, folks. Michigan Insider, Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com, live here inside the MDN studios. So, MGO Blog Roundtable, Brian Cook, Ed Fang, Craig Ross. We talked a lot of offense in the first segment. What about the defense? Very clear what Middle Tennessee State's game plan was. They were going to try to get the perimeter, and they did so belligerently. I mean, that was play in and play out.
Yeah.
However they could do it, they were trying to get outside.
Yeah, and you know, I like their game plan on offense a lot more than I like their game plan on defense. They had a couple of clever plays where they were able to play off some other stuff they were doing. So I thought it was a decent test for a few different players, but you know, we gotta have our thoughts here for the defensive ends who just have the most irritating game they can possibly have.
Yeah, you know, in this game, I don't chart like what they're in
right.
Play to play. I know you, but it just felt like, you know, they varied their coverages noticeably in
yes.
this game when it came to how effective the variance was for them.
So when I do the charts, I have like a coverage thing, and it's pretty basic. It's just like one or two high, and then are you playing off or press? I have never typed the word off under Don Brown until this game. Mm-hmm. So there were some instances where they had off coverage, they had a lot of too high. It looked like a reaction to what happened last year in the Ohio State game. They were much more diverse than they have been for much of the year. And you know, part of that,
well, I mean, young corners too, right? I mean, do you think that's part of it?
I think part of it is the Middle Tennessee game plan. So, you know, they come out in their first play and they get a chunk because, you know, the corner's in man coverage and mm-hmm. they're cracking on the guy who's supposed to cover the running back. So, you know, when you have a team that is just so focused on getting outside, then the natural reaction is to play a lot of cover too, because the corners can come up and hit mm-hmm. then. So partially the game plan, but also we saw a diversity in, you know, the back seven that I don't think we saw last year.
Yeah, I think the good news on defense was going into the game, my primary concern was corner, particularly with Ambry Thomas being uncertain.
It's
and Ambry came out and played. I thought he was the best player on the field.
I
Pro Football Focus didn't, but I thought Vincent Gray was really good. In yeah. fact, the mistakes we had were our superstar corner with Hill.
Well, Gray yeah. did get blocked pretty thoroughly on a couple of okay. chunks that they had. And a couple of his plays were errors by Middle Tennessee, so he had that stick at the goal line.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a receiver who was supposed to block him, and he just didn't. And then Gray finished the play, and that's good.
Yeah.
I'm still a little concerned about how tough he is taking on blocks right now, but it was encouraging.
I mean,
I was a little less encouraged after going over the film.
But I think you got to be encouraged, right? I mean, he had a tackle. I think it was the one that counted as tackle for loss, where he pushed the running back where he probably doesn't have a weight advantage. So, I mean, I think he's got the strength to take on those blocks, because you saw that in some of his tackling.
Yeah, I mean, when he got blocked, it didn't go well. So he's got to focus on getting off those and being a little bit, like, harder on the edge.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I have mixed feelings. I mean, it felt like Middle Tennessee State was able to attack us at the edges to some degree.
I think when they caught him in man-to-man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was often the case, but you. I mean, look, I thought they were guessing a lot of times, and when they guessed right, it worked. And the coach kind of spoke to that effect after the game. He said, we anticipated Michigan playing more man-to-man than they played, but when they zoned them up, they blew up a lot of those plays.
Yeah, and, you know, they had 200 yards before the backups
got in.
That was
my point, 220 until the last drive.
Right, and 195 before they started rotating pretty heavily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was like a 13 or 14 drive game for the defense. So that's a lot. Like last year, a Michigan game would be 8 or 9 drives. And so you have increased tempo. Yeah. You have a lot of quick touchdowns. Like this was a game where they could have given up more, and it probably would have been okay.
What did you think? Go ahead.
Oh, I'm tracking success rate, which I define as 50% of yards on first down, 70 on second, and all on third and fourth down. You know, Middle Tennessee was at 37% in this game. Which is pretty good. That college football average is about 43. So, I mean, I think if you're Middle Tennessee's offense, I think that's pretty good going against a team like Michigan. Michigan as a defense, I think that's a pretty solid start, given that you had the questions in the secondary and, you know, a lot of losses to the NFL last year.
What about the play specifically of the defensive line? What did you guys think of up front? I know that was your biggest concern, was injury
yeah.
your defensive line.
Well, Mason, I don't think he's ready. And so he's 270, and I think he knows that he gets blown out a lot when, you know, two guys get hands on him. So he goes so hard that often he'll end up on the ground. And when he doesn't end up on the ground, sometimes he's over-penetrated and can't come back to the play. So he had one or two nice plays, but, you know, the instances where they were able to get something up the middle, it was usually because Mason was on the ground. So got to get Jeter back, got to get Dwan Ford back, and hopefully a couple of freshmen will come through and be options. You know, other than that, it was hard to really judge them because the defensive ends, it's like, all right, well, we're going to get a sack, and then the guy would, like, pull a rabbit out of his hat. And, like, they were, like, the thing that stood out to me was Josh Uche. And I know he only got, like, a third of the snaps in this game. Michigan has to figure out a way to get him on the field on almost every down. He is incredibly explosive. If he might be a bad run defender, I don't care. You got to have this guy on the field.
I thought Aiden Hutchinson had a good game.
He did.
I agree.
He did. And like Hutchinson was my pick for the guy who leads the line in TFLs this year, and I think he's going to have a breakout. He had a couple really nice plays. And Dana showed well too. I thought Pay had a couple plays, but you know, it's tough when all you're doing is screens and all stuff for the perimeter.
Yeah. Well, Pro Football Focus loved Dana. They gave him the highest grade on the defense, although I think he only had 24 snaps. They had Glasgow was second, who had 50 snaps. I was surprised. I think you mentioned this, Sam, but I was surprised that he was a starter at the Will and had 50 snaps. Gill only had 13. I mean, I was happy that McGrone finally got some action. He had 19 snaps in the game. You know, I don't know about the defensive line. I wonder if Hutchinson may be better suited to being a defensive tackle than a defensive end, at least on this particular team. Brian shaking his head no.
I mean, he's a guy who will prove his value as a defensive end when people actually drop back. Mm-hmm. And I think that you're going to have a couple of guys come back and be solid defensive tackles. But, they had some snaps where they folded him inside, like there would be a four-man line, but it would be like an Uche package. And he'd be the three tech, and Uche would play.
They had Glasgow at defensive end a couple times. Or sort of lined up out at a nine tech, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, they were doing a few different things. You saw Glasgow up on the line. You saw Aiden Hutchinson at defensive tackle. You saw Kalik Hudson
at safety.
That was pretty interesting because I think they feel like both Hawkins and Metellus are better in man-to-man coverage than Hudson. So what are you going to do with Hudson when they go four wide? Well, he can play free safety.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's a good response to events, even if it, you know, takes away from his excellent blitzing capacity. But what Glasgow showed in this game I thought was really encouraging. So not so much the first sack, which was, you know, it was good, but it was a little bit gimme. The second sack, you know,
effort, man.
Yeah, that was Chase Winovich right there, right? Like he's just relentless, and he got after it. He's a good run defender. He's been able to take on blocks, even though he's a little bit small. Like I think he's a player, and he's going to be a guy who, you know, I think is going to improve the performance at that position this year.
I agree. I wonder if there's some more Glasgows.
We
got to figure out, because all three of those guys have been really good players.
Dr. Stephen Glasgow told me there was only one more, and she's a girl.
Can she play?
She can walk onto the basketball team.
I think she goes to Indiana or something.
Okay. Boo.
Let's go to the phones real quick before we get to a break. 734-998-1050. Talk to Don in Ann Arbor. Don, what's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. Looking ahead to this coming weekend, supposedly Don Brown has been having his defense prepare specifically for Army in the preseason. Assuming that's true, is there any applicability of what they have done, what they will have to do against Army to any of the subsequent games in the rest of the season? Or is all that effort just sort of wasted in a sense on Army and you don't really get anything out of it for the rest of the season? Thanks.
I think it's mostly wasted. I think it's good practice for the cornerbacks to come up and be tough run defenders because that's going to be something they're going to be asked to do. But like in terms of like this is how we're going to align. If you remember when they played Air Force a couple years back, they aligned in this crazy formation that they were never going to use against any other team. So I'm always like
you're like don't play service academies.
Don't play service academies.
Right.
Like you can get a flyover without playing a service academy. Let's have like the military day while we play a team that plays an offense like Ohio State plays.
Yeah, they've been practicing since spring ball. He has the added benefit of Brian Smith. Called Brian Smith up and we were talking to Ben Holden about this yesterday. He said Brian Smith, his defensive game plan, his defensive execution against Army last week was the best he's seen since he's been calling Army games. So that's
well,
Don
they,
Brown.
Defensive
yeah.
execution.
Brian Smith is the defensive coordinator for Rice. Used to be the
ex coach. He thought Army's defense was
Rice's defense. Rice's defense.
Yeah, I mean, well, Rice. I mean, Ed is a Rice grad, and I think Rice has won what 3 games in the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's been rough.
I think they beat Prairie View, Old Dominion, and then 2 years ago they beat UTEP, and that's it in the last 2 years. So they're 3-22.
They played Army tough though, and that's no small thing.
Right, that was a 14-7 game. It was 7-7 late in the game, and Army only was able to run for mostly run. I think they threw for 50 yards and ran for 230. Did you see any of that game, Ed? Have you seen?
I saw a little bit of it. I saw the end when they had a chance to win. I don't know what you can make of. I don't think Army's that good a football team. So, I mean, yes, I understand.
You've been saying that all along.
Yeah.
You don't think they're that good a football team this year? This year.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, they have an incredibly weak schedule this year. We're going to beat them. I mean, it's not like I'm for playing a service academy. I mean, I agree with you guys, but, you know, I mean, their defense was kind of terrible last year.
What did you think of Army last year?
They were good, but, I mean, they were still like 98th as a team when you look at adjusted yards per play. So it's not something that really scares me. I mean, it's still a service academy, even though they won, 11 games last year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, the adjusted yards per play is not the right metric for Army, right? Like, because their offense is like 18 plays, 96-yard touchdown drive.
9 minutes.
Right. So yeah. it doesn't quite capture what they're trying to do and how they took Oklahoma to overtime.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean,
he said, and this is a quote.
This is Brian.
This is Ben Holden.
Ben Holden.
He said 3 yards is a win.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's right, because what Army has done is they've changed a first down from 10 yards to 9. In the sense that if it's 4th and 1,
they go for it.
And last year,
yeah, but every team can do that.
I know, but they're the ones that are doing it. And last year they had 23 4th and 1s, and they went for them all. And I think they were 21 and 23 on going for it. So they've changed the first down marker from 10 to 9 yards, which is what lots of teams should be doing. But for some reason,
exactly. Look. I mean, I have success rate adjusted numbers from last year too. Army's offense was 65th. Their defense was 78th. Still not a team that really scares me.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was worried about them until I saw the Rice game, and maybe Rice has really improved, but Rice is not a great team, and they played Army pretty much even last week. So,
all right, we need to get to a break. Going around college football, guys, starting in the Big Ten really, really quickly. So teams I was impressed with versus teams I wasn't impressed with. So was impressed with Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Very much so. Was impressed by Justin Fields with Ohio State. Was impressed by, despite it being a putrid opponent, I didn't think, maybe I'm just too low on James Franklin. Maybe I don't give him enough credit, but that they scored 79 points, I was like, wow. I didn't think he was capable. Not impressed with Michigan State.
Uh-uh.
Not impressed with Nebraska. Not impressed with Purdue.
Or Northwestern.
Northwestern, I mean, you had injuries. You had some injuries up in that game. Bowser got knocked out of that game.
Hunter Johnson was terrible.
Yeah, they get this, like, 5-star transfer quarterback, and he's like, I'm going to come in, and I'm going to suck.
He has to play. Because
he wanted to look over his shoulder. He wanted to look over his shoulder now, so maybe that'll make him allow him to play free.
He's terrible.
Better?
He's terrible.
Well, remember, though, you know, Northwestern last year started out losing to everybody. Yeah. I think they lost their first 3 games.
I understand.
Yeah, and by the end of the year, they played Ohio State better than we did.
But Clayton Thorson entered that season with, like, a torn ACL and got better as the season progressed. From what I saw from Hunter Johnson, that's not happening this year.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Michigan State, because that sounds fun.
Yeah, I can't believe their offense was as bad as it was against Tulsa.
But they pulled the Brady Hoke deck chairs rearrangement. Like,
but it's Tulsa.
Yeah, but
And you can't be that bad 2 years in a row, can you?
You can. I mean, who's their best skill position player? Cody White, maybe?
Cody White.
And I'm like, okay, that's undrafted free agent. And their running backs.
I haven't been high on the running back position.
No, and then so they have two tackles on the whole roster, and they're both injured, so they're playing.
But Lewerke is healthy.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter if you're healthy, if you're running for your life. We know this as Michigan fans. So, like, you know, when after the game, Michigan State fans are putting up, like, Twitter threads about how Lewerke's just running for his life. And they're Michigan State fans, so there's, like, screens in there. So it's not the highest quality analysis, but there are some pretty shocking instances where their right tackle is just getting blown up by Tulsa. And I don't think that's going to change all year.
Yeah, so. They had, I think, 108 yards rushing for the game. But the stat that was glaring to me, running backs, 30 carries for 68 yards. I said before the season started, L.J. Scott would prove to be a huge loss, not because he was so great last year, but he was there. He was the promise at that position for this year. Well, and without him,
L.J. Scott was a good running back. I mean,
if he wasn't limited by his head, then he would have probably been an NFL running back. And there's nothing approximating that on their roster now. Like, Connor Hayward is basically Ben Van Sumeren, except he's starting for them. And, you know, I like Ben Van Sumeren as a short yardage back, but the difference between him and a real feature back is evident, and that's what Michigan State is running out.
I feel like I bought a bill of goods on Purdue turning the corner. I kind of wrote off their bowl debacle. Yeah.
Look at them last year, though. I mean, Purdue was so up and down.
Minnesota
last year,
41-14 or something along those lines. So they've been, and also like that game, they outgained Nevada by a significant amount, but turned the ball over 5 times. They didn't get any turnovers themselves, and they still like should have won that game, and they kind of blew it at the end. There are games where you just are a snake bit, and I feel like, you know, if they are in a game where they're even in turnovers, they're probably going to be a pretty good team.
Wisconsin destroying USF.
I mean, Wisconsin looked good. I was shocked by how bad USF looked. I mean, dropping passes, just dwarfing it everywhere, and their defense was like, Charlie Strong's on the hot seat now, and I was like, I was not expecting
that. You gotta be. Right. I mean, they lost, what, 6 straight to end last season?
Yeah.
And then you come out and you get destroyed at home. Ed, I'm not feeling Nebraska. I know they won.
No.
But man,
it was bad.
Martinez didn't look like a Heisman guy to me.
Nope.
No.
Wandale Robinson looks like he's gonna be really good.
He does look like a player, but they already have a slot in J.D. Spielman, so like, what are they gonna, how much of an improvement is Robinson over Spielman touches? So, like, kind of redundant there. You need some Stanley Morgan not being around, I think, hurts them.
Still, I mean, if you're a Nebraska fan, you're like, hey, the defense didn't completely suck. Offense should come around, and we get Colorado.
Who was the opponent, Ed?
South Alabama.
Yeah, we're going to find out a lot about it, because Colorado came out
looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Looked pretty good in that game.
All right, we got to get out of here, folks.